We're on a mission from God. Thus saith the Blues Brothers. We're on a mission from God. And isn't that true of the followers of Jesus? We are on a mission from God. But more than that, we're on a mission with God. God is on a mission to save the humans. In fact, he commissions us to be co-missioning or co-laboring with him in his mission to the world. So the question is, are you on mission with God? What mission fills your vision, your heart, your thoughts, your time, and your dreams? In the mission world, they talk about the Missio Dei, which is Latin for the mission of God. That is God's mission to save the humans, which is his great redemptive plan to extend his rightful rule and reign through his son Jesus. And he's going to do that through the proclamation of the gospel message about Jesus and the making of disciples of Jesus. And he's going to do it one redemption story at a time. The Old Testament describes that mission like this. In Habakkuk 2:14, he says this, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, how much of the sea is covered by water? Well, the whole lot, right? It's a funny thing to say it like that. And that's God's intention for the whole earth to be filled with the knowledge of his glory. Psalm 22, 27 says it like this, "All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will bow down before him." The great verses, aren't they? Great promises. And in the New Testament, this mission becomes clearer, that God will fill the world with the knowledge of his son, Jesus. And he's going to do that through the gospel, through the making of disciples by the church. Now, we might think of mission as about getting converts, which is true. We want people to convert and come to Jesus. But it's more than that. It's about making disciples of the rightful king. It's about making disciples in ever-increasing number. Disciples who are deep in the word, lovers and worshippers of God, they're in community serving others, and they're growing more and more like Jesus. Now, David Bosch, who's he's a missiologist, someone who studies mission around the globe, he says this. He says, "Mission is more and different from recruitment to our brand of religion. It is alerting people to the universal reign of God." I'll say it again. Mission is more and different from recruiting people to our brand of religion. We're not just another religion among a smorgasbord of religions to choose from. No. Mission is about alerting people to the universal reign of God in Christ. That is, when Jesus came, he died on the cross, he rose again, he ascended to heaven. Now he is the Lord of heaven and earth. All authority belongs to him. There's no nation on earth, there's no spot of land, there's no human being over which Jesus doesn't say, "Mine." He's the king. And mission is about alerting people, telling them there's a king and you need to repent and believe in him. This is the mission of God. This is the mission of Jesus. And as the church is his bride and he is our head, it's like we get to be his helpmate on board with his mission to the world. And it's a grand thing, it's global. But it starts really, really local. It starts with individuals and small groups of people meeting Jesus, obeying his call, and following him. And today, as we look at this passage, we're going to consider two aspects of what it means to be on mission with God. The first is actually God's mission in us. God's mission in us, and the second is God's mission through us. So God's mission in us, God's mission through us, that's what we're going to look at briefly in these verses. So God's mission in us. So in the beginning, God made humans in his image, in his likeness. In fact, his original plan was to fill the earth with worshippers of him to his glory, to extend his glory and reign across the earth. Of course, we know what happened. The fall happened, sin happened, but God's plan never changed. And through Jesus, his mission is to recreate us into the image of his Son to be like him. Actually, in chapter 1, verses 14 to 15 in Mark, we see after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He's proclaiming the gospel. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Or he could have worded it as the king is here. Repent and believe the good news. And Jesus is doing the very thing that she's going to ask the disciples to do, preach the gospel. And in verses 16 to 18, we read, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. This here is a beautifully succinct picture of what God intends to do with all of us, his people. See, he's going to achieve a mission through these first disciples. But first, he's got to do a mission in them. And how does he do that? How do we join in God's mission in us? Well, a couple of points to note here. Who is it who initiates the relationship? Well, they're just fishing, doing their thing, right? It's Jesus. He's the one who walks into their life and calls them. Jesus initiates. Jesus calls. He saw. He called. He initiates. And he does the same with us. And his first call is a command. Follow me. Follow me. He calls to their ears and hearts. Follow me. So you've been following anything and everything else. You've been living separate from God. Stop living separate and come and walk with me. Come and live with me. This is a call to a relationship with God, to put Jesus and his gospel at the center, and to put his gospel and himself at the center of your plans, your ambitions, your mission in life. This is how we join in God's mission in us. You obey the call to follow Jesus. You can't move anywhere else with Jesus unless you start here. Obey and follow. Now, we might like to think of this as sort of an invitation from a gentleman. And Jesus is certainly a gentleman in many regards. But in fact, who's talking? Who's saying this? This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the one before whom demons tremble and angel armies obey. This is the one who calls light out of darkness, who makes everything out of nothing. When this one calls and says, follow me, what do you think you should do? You should obey or disobey at great peril to your soul. But follow has more to it, doesn't it? It's following Jesus, it's related to imitating him, watching him, learning from him, obeying him, worshiping him, falling into line with his way of life, which includes his heart for the Father and his heart for other people. It's to be an apprentice of the Master. And these disciples are going to get to look in on Jesus' life for 3 years as he preaches and teaches, as he heals and feeds, he shows compassion and love, and in word and deed does the mission of God. And then he's going to send them to do the same. And as we sit at Jesus' feet together, as we sit at his feet through looking at his word, learning from his life, and we do that in community with others, he calls us to do the same. Now, the language here in the NIV says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out. Other translations say, I will make you become fishers of men. And in fact, there's a cool little Greek word here called, says poieo, and it means more than sending. It's got to do with the creative activity of God. It's about the creative activity of God. Jesus is saying, follow me and I will recreate you. I will work on you and mold you and craft you and refashion you. I'll be your sensei and you'll be my student. I'll make you like me as you follow me. And as I do that, I will send you out into the world to alert people to the universal reign of God in Christ through proclaiming the gospel and doing good works. Now, this is quite remarkable. Because even as God wants to achieve a mission through us and with us, he's actually on mission in us. It's like this interlocking process of inner transformation by the Spirit and outward sending as we obey. Does that make sense? Like, I think, like, maybe sometimes we think, oh, I need God just to get me just right and then send me out. And there's certainly seasons of preparation, but actually, God doesn't work just like that. He's like, as I'm working on you, I'm going to be sending you. You don't need to be perfected for me to use you. God can use crooked sticks to draw straight lines. And we're all a bunch of crooked sticks. See, we're the broken who God is putting back together to minister to the broken so he can put them back together too. We are works in progress that God delights to use even though we're not a finished product yet. And he won't be a finished product until Jesus comes back. So get on with it. As Paul says, the apostle in Philippians 2, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So let's get behind God's mission in us. Bring joy to the Spirit. Why resist? So that's God's mission in us. At least God's mission through us. So whose or what mission are you on? Whose or what mission are you on? Because there's plenty of substitute missions, aren't there? There's the Great Aussie Dream mission. There's the pay off all your debts and live a good lifestyle mission. There's the travel around the world mission. There's the whatever grips your heart mission. There's lots, and are these things bad in and of themselves? Not necessarily. You want to pay down your debt, all that stuff. But they are bad if they become the center, the thing around which your heart and life and finances and everything revolve. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of people. And verse 18, what did Simon and his brother do? At once they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they obeyed. What about you? Now, fishing was a good trade. It was a necessary work, what these guys were up to. It provided for them, their families, and the surrounding population. They're helping feed the population. It's a good work from God. It's a good thing. But there's a greater work of eternal consequence which God is calling them to. And it's not the feeding of people, but the saving of souls through the making disciples of Jesus. Now, by the way, we are all products of these guys, if you could put it like that. Because they obeyed Jesus, went out and made disciples who taught others to make disciples, who taught others to make disciples for the last 2,000 years, here we are. Remarkable. See, Jesus, when he comes in, he means to interrupt their life. He means to interrupt their life. The center of their life is no longer fishing or their boat or their business or paying off the mortgage or saving for the next holiday or whatever it is that grips you. These things are no longer the center. Jesus and his mission to the world becomes the center. You have a new master now. The king calls for nothing short of complete surrender. You've got to hand him the keys, the key card, the blockchain, the remote, the everything. The net is no longer the center. And that includes the internet. A few verses later, we see the calling of James and his brother John. And the same thing, it says, without delay, verse 20, he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now note here too that not only did they leave their nets, they left their dad and the family business. Now parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, take note. You do have a rightful claim to your family. You know, we have duties and responsibilities to our family. And the fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. But Jesus, when he comes in, he trumps all other claims. When he calls, his authority trumps everything. and outstrips your authority. Everyone must bow the knee before the king and his call. Your family are not yours to keep. They are on loan. You are stewards. They belong to Jesus. So what do we do with all this? God's mission in us, God's mission through us. Well, I've got a bunch of ideas which hopefully helpful for us about how we are on mission with God. See, friends, we are in this unique moment in history. The Apostle Paul calls it the day of salvation, or the day of God's favor. It's this unique moment in history between Jesus' first coming and his ascension to heaven and his second coming when he comes to judge all the earth. This unique time. And this day has an expiry date. There's an end date that God's got in mind. We don't know exactly when it is, but each moment and day it gets closer and closer. And on that day, the heavens are going to split apart. Jesus is going to come in great glory with all these angels. Everyone's going to be drawn before him. The dead will rise. Everyone will have to give an account of their life. And only those who've trusted in Jesus will get to live forever with him. In fact, the Apostle Peter will say later in the book of Acts, after Jesus' ascension, he says, "There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." That is Jesus. There's no other way to God. Only through Jesus. So what are we to do? Well, we want to get behind God's mission in us, don't we? And God's mission through us. We want to bring ourselves under Jesus. He's a good master, but he demands complete surrender and obedience. And Jesus and his mission is not some nice little neat box over here that you get to just tick off and then get on with doing whatever you want with your life. He intends for your relationship with him and his mission in the world to invade your everything. See, God's already on mission in the world. I guess the question is, are we going to get behind him? God's already on mission to your family, to your children. Are you going to join him on that mission and help make disciples of them? He's already on mission to your neighbors and in your street. Are you going to get behind what he's doing and join in with him? He's already on mission in your workplace and sports club and when you go for a run with people and when you're at the shops. He's on mission in this town and in our world, and he's calling us to get with him, get behind him on what he's doing. And some of us are already doing this. You're kicking goals. You're going for it. Continue. Encourage us. Encourage others to do the same. But for others, you know something's not right in your life. Something else has got the center. And you wonder why you're a bit depressed and feeling meaningless and lost. Well, could it be this? Jesus and his mission wants to grab the center of your being, and watch what happens. Watch what joy fills your heart. It's not the easy way, but it's the best way. And maybe some of us need to restructure our life, even our work life. Maybe to be a bit like the Apostle Paul, who was like a tent maker. You know, he worked his trade as a tent maker for a lot of the week to support him and others so he could do mission and ministry. For some of you, it might mean a career change, where you are more overtly involved in the outward parts of God's mission. For others, it's the same career, but with added prayerfulness for your work colleagues and a willingness to mix your life with theirs for the sake of the gospel. Now, some examples might be helpful. And I'm sure we all know of examples of people who've made God's mission the center. I knew of a couple a few years ago who, between them, they didn't have kids yet. They realized that they could earn enough money if they both worked sort of 3 or so days a week each. And then the rest of the time they could give to their new church plant, serving, doing evangelism, helping out, growing relationships, working in the community. That was a way that they sort of thought, let's get on board with God in that way. And some of our interns this year have done that very thing. They're working 3 or 4 days a week, giving a day or two a week towards being trained, doing ministry. Maybe come and have a chat to them if you want to know, how can I make that work? In fact, I know of a couple of people in Perth right now who could be school principals in established schools earning quite a good wage. But instead, they've got this vision. In fact, they've sort of smelt the cultural wind, I think, at the moment. And they've got this vision for working in conjunction with churches to try and start new schools, Christian schools, but without government funding, so they can have a bit more freedom in the future. And they're living on the smell of an oily rag right now. Now, why would they do that? It doesn't make sense, logically, in some regards, unless Jesus and his mission has gripped them. Because they see education and as a way to make disciples and point people to Jesus. There are others who are using their retirement to serve and help out in a multitude of ways. And I see a bunch of you in the church doing that, whether in church or out in the community. There's others who are giving time and energy to try to establish a Christian rehab in Albany. There are others on the streets at awful hours as street chaplains. Still others volunteer in the cafe to provide this welcoming space for relationships to be built and to normalize people coming into this church building. There are others who've chosen careers like nursing, teaching, medicine, and what have you, where they feel that's more of a direct outlet for them. There's still others who know they're good at what they do and they can make money well. And they work hard and they're generous with their resources and time and skills and businesses to bring others in and to use it for God's work as well. There are others who are willing to walk up to random people on the streets and strike up conversations and see if people are willing to talk about Jesus. In fact, I see Glenda, you've got your shirt on, the way of the life. Glenda goes out in the streets and shares the gospel with people. Maybe you want to have a chat to her about how she does that and how you might could get involved. So why are all these people doing these things? It's because Jesus and his mission has gripped them and he's using them in their own unique ways. And look, a couple of final thoughts. What's the catch? What's the catch? Well, the catch is huge. As Jesus would say, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. You know, in Albany alone, I estimate that out of the 38,000 or so people that call Albany and our little region home, over 35,000 of those don't know Jesus. So out of 38,000 people, over 35,000 of those don't know Jesus. In fact, we've got 350 people here today. That's a nice chunk, isn't it? But we want to see a lot more people connected to Jesus. And I wonder how many of those live in your street or in your family or in your workplace. See, God is on mission in you and through you to reach these people, to alert them to the gospel. Now, a word too on word and deed. See, being on mission with God involves both preaching, so preaching the gospel, and doing good to others. It's both and, not either or. We just have to look at Jesus' life to see that God's mission to the world involved preaching and healing, teaching and giving food. They go together. Almost imagine it like the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. The gospel is a spoken message. You have to speak it. The gospel is like the pointy end, but behind it comes all this love and good works which adorn the gospel message. They go together. And we all need to be ready to speak, but some are going to do more speaking and others are going to do more practical stuff. We're on a team in this together. Which also leads us to see that Jesus sends us all, but not everyone leaves. So the first disciples, they left everything and went. And today there are people who are still called to leave everything and go, and that could be some of you. And if that's you, we want to get behind you. In fact, our church is already behind a bunch of people, sending them out, supporting them in all sorts of places in Australia and across the planet, sending people out, because there are billions of people on this planet who haven't yet heard of and responded to Jesus. And they need Christians to be near them and taking the message to them. Now, I think as a church, we're probably pretty clued onto this part of it. The sort of go, make disciples out there. We support a lot of missionaries. But I wonder if our weaker point is the local mission, reaching our own people here. See, because for most of us, we're not called to go out in that sense. But we are called to make disciples as we go about our life. We're not called to drop the nets per se, but to hold them a little more loosely because they're no longer the center, Jesus and his mission is. And while we go about life, we are, as the Apostle Peter would say later in his life, he'd say we need to always be ready to give an account of the hope that we have. See, we're all called to make disciples, but we're all different parts of Jesus' body in his mission. We're all wired differently, but we're all on his mission together in various ways. Some people, they're like Peter, who when he preaches his first sermon in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, it's like he throws out a big gospel net and 3,000 people believe and are baptized that day. Now, some of us would love to be that, but we're not. God hasn't made us that. There's not many Billy Grahams or Apostle Peters around. Now, not everyone is a gifted evangelist, but all are called to be on mission with God. Most people are probably like me when I go fishing. You know, I find a nice spot. I don't even know if there's any fish that necessarily come there. I just rig up, throw in a line, and I really hope that a fish swims past and jumps on. And occasionally I catch a fish fishing like that. And each day at work, among family, neighbours, others, you're faithfully, prayerfully just throwing out a line, praying for a bite, being a listening ear, generous and kind, trying to create inroads for the gospel. They ask you what you did on the weekend and you're like, yeah, I went to church and I heard this. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, something happens and you're like, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? You're just throwing out a line and occasionally someone will bite. But there are others still who are more gifted in this way. They're more like Dan McComish, our youth pastor, when he goes out fishing. So he's not content to stand on the shore and wait for a fish to jump on his line. He's going to get in his boat. He's going to go out to where the fish are. He's going to jump in the water, swim down 20 metres, brushing past a few great whites, and hunt a fish and spear it. Now, likewise, evangelists are not content with just dropping in a line. They're on the hunt. They want to go where the pagans are. And it can be risky and full of temptations, but as they fix their eyes on Jesus, they're following their Lord who mixed it with sinners and tax collectors. They're out there for the sake of the gospel. But do you know what? For each of those groups of people, they can each get better at what God has called them to do. Me, as this person standing on the shore, I can go out with John Soyka and go, mate, can you teach me where are the fish and how do I fish better? Or maybe you want to try out, go, oh, maybe I need to go out with Dan, work out if I could be a spear fisherman like that. So we can all get better. In fact, I've got a bunch of these books up here. It's called How to Talk About Jesus Without Being That Guy. Maybe it's without being like me, I don't know. But it's by Sam Chan, he's an Australian. This is a great book, gives you lots of good, helpful tips on and doing just everyday evangelism in a skeptical world. If you want to grab a copy and read it and then boomerang it back to me, please do. I've got a bunch up here. I'd love to see them all gone. Come and grab them and have a read. This week, we're starting the gospel in four meals on Wednesday night for 4 weeks. We're going to be explaining the gospel. What's it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What's the story of the Bible all about? Next term and in the lead up to Easter, we're going to be a bit more focused evangelistically. We're going to run a couple of weeks of Alpha into Gospel in four meals next term. Probably going to do it here at the church as a bigger thing. Maybe your growth group would like to plug into that. Have a chat about it with your group. Who will you be praying for and thinking of inviting? I've also got a bunch of these Gospel of Marks out sitting at the back and around the corner. If you want to grab one of those, keep it in your car. Keep it in your bag. Pray, who can I give this to? Maybe there's a neighbor and you're like, do you know what? I've got it on my heart. I need to go to them and just say, look, maybe you're not into this, but I just really encourage you to read this. It's about Jesus. This means everything to me and I want it to mean everything to you too. Why don't you have a read? What's the worst that can happen? Well, I'll tell you, I've done this and last year they just thought I was a weirdo and they didn't take it. That's okay. We still talk. And if they take it, even better. And there are others who are going to be doing more, I'd call it black ops missions, which some people will find uncomfortable, going on the streets, hanging out in pubs, using whatever means is available that some might be saved. See, at the end of the day, the fishing metaphor can only go so far because when you catch a fish, you kill it. Now, that's not what we're going to do here, okay? Now, the sort of fishing Jesus talks about is saving fish. Because one day the water they're swimming in will become a lake of fire. And I don't say that to be gruesome, but that's just a reality. Become a lake of fire. See, people need saving into a new pond, the kingdom of God. This is no joke. We're dealing with eternity, souls, hell, God's judgment, and salvation. This is not a casual fishing trip. This is a matter of life and death for human souls. As Paul said, the apostle, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. So God is on mission in us and through us. We get to be on mission with God. It's about all of life, all ministries, all the time. Jesus demands nothing less. Let's pray before we sing. Father, we thank you for your word. We are challenged by it. And we ask that you would help us. We want to come under your work in us. We want to run in line with what you're doing and not resist you. We want to make your life a joy as you work in our lives. And Father, we want to submit ourselves to you that you would work through us, not just in us, but through us to reach out to those around us. Help us to make Jesus and his mission the center of our lives. In his name we pray, amen.